Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Charlie Usher here. I'm hosting the Wessex Safety Hour telephone conference for today. What we're going to do is have a quick look at our safety performance over the last week. Then we've got a number of different safety alerts, incidents and bulletins, a couple of them relating to incidents that we've had on the route, and then there's some more general briefing material to do with winter and some information around driving in winter, and then we'll have an opportunity for question and answers, comments, and any issues or news that people may like to raise who are on the call today. Okay, so that's what we've got for today. I would like to draw everybody's attention to the new Wessex Safety blog, which has recently been created, and this is a really great web page that brings together all the safety information and has links to all the bulletins and the other briefings that are discussed on this call. You can access it by going into your browser and typing safety.nrwessex.co.uk. That will take you to the Wessex Safety blog with the latest information at the top, and you can also scroll down and see the previous blogs from the previous week's Safety Hour call. So that's a really good facility to use, and you might want to consider bringing up that web page when you're carrying out your own safety hours with your own local team. So really good bit of innovation there from the safety team in Wessex, and I encourage you all to have a look at that. Okay, so looking back at last week, so 67 close calls were reported last week, so a little bit lower than we've had historically, so please remember to encourage all your teams and all the people on the call when you're out and about. You see anything, could be a hazardous condition, or it could be a behaviour of a colleague or another person that you see on the railway network, raise close calls so that we can get information about the sort of hazards and behaviours that exist out there, and give people a chance to rectify them and put them right. And obviously, if you are in a position to take action and address the close call at the time and it's safe to do so, then we would encourage you to do that. In terms of safety hour attendance last week, so we're at 69% last week, which is really good. 69% of all the people on the route having a safety hour conversation at some point during the week. So that's really good. Our target corporately is 75%, so not far away from that now. So do report in your attendance at this call and any other safety hour conversations you may have with your team to the Wessex Safety Hour reporting email address, and then they'll be collected up and will form part of our statistics for next week. Okay, so having a look at incidents. So on the 3rd of January there was an incident at Southampton Central Station between Southampton Central and Brockenhurst. And what happened here was a train was routed from platform 1 on the up goods loop, and the train came across. The train driver reported a possession limit board and detonators on an open line. So this is under investigation as to why that equipment was on the open line and how they'd come to be there. Next one occurred at Epsom, between Epsom and Newell West. This was a member of Wimbledon Peaway who tripped on the wooden edge of a step and grazed his right hand. So a close call was raised for that incident, and our off-track team have been down to that access point to have a look and carry out any necessary rectification to eliminate that tripping hazard at that location. So, you know, ideally we'd like to have those sort of things reported beforehand so we can address that prior to an accident. Fortunate in this incident it was only a minor accident, but obviously could have been more serious. So that's just a little bit of a demonstration as to why it's important to raise close calls when we see those sort of tripping hazards or other hazards out and about on the infrastructure. Another one down at Southampton, a member of Eastleigh Signal Works sustained an injury to his lower back after falling while undoing a tight lock on a tubular stretcher bar. So it's possibly something to consider about manual handling here, having the right tools and equipment, and making sure you're in the correct position when you're attempting to undertake that activity. And the final one was at Feltham Junction, where a tamper struck the railhead, causing superficial damage to the top of the rail. So luckily no actual injury resulted from that one. So some good news. So there were 7 suicide interventions last week. So that's really excellent. So that's 7 potential suicide attempts that have been averted by the intervention of our people. So that's great news for those people. Potentially, you know, they're still here when they might not be otherwise. And it's also great news for the railway, as there's 7 potentially disruptive incidents that have been averted there. And the Samaritans training course is available for everyone, and if you go onto the blog, you can find a link there that gives you more information about that. And you know, we do encourage all our people to attend that training course if they can, and that, you know, the more people we have who have done the training on suicidal contacts, obviously we've got more chance of making successful interventions and having a really positive impact on somebody's life through doing that. Okay, the next one, this occurred up at Waterloo, potentially quite a serious incident where an operative working for the Wessex Capacity Alliance over the Christmas blockade, which was on the 25th of December, a member of the signalling installation and testing team suffered an electrical shock while working on the 650 volt AC equipment within a location cabinet at Waterloo. So again, there's a bulletin which is available through the link on the blog. And the description of the event, it says an operative commenced work to remove an isolated 650 volt feeder linking 2 fuse boards situated in 1 of 4 location cabinets. Having proved that the equipment was isolated in accordance with the life-saving rules, the cable was removed from the fuse panel. Whilst conducting further work on the panel, the power supply was re-energised, resulting in the IP receiving an electric shock. So from the description of the incident there, it's sort of clear that we need to do a bit more investigation, as the sequence of events as described, that shouldn't really happen, as if an isolation is enforced, then that shouldn't be re-energised without all the people on the work site being advised and being confirmed that they were aware of that, because obviously working to the electricity at work regulations and the permitting system that we have is designed to prevent that kind of incident happening. So a further investigation is required into that incident and is ongoing at the moment. But it's a useful reminder that we need to ensure that all planned isolations are sufficiently robust to mitigate against the potential for human error. And as I said, that's why we have permit systems for electrical isolations, and we need to make sure that they're correct and applied robustly. Okay. So we've got people will have noticed that we've had a lot of rain recently, and we've got some advice about driving in rain and driving through floods. If anyone has experienced the effect of having water sucked into their diesel engine car, as I have, it's not generally very good for it, and you generally need to buy a new car after you do that. So from both a safety point of view and a point looking after our assets, there's some useful advice. The general principle is if it's difficult to determine the depth of the water or it's not entirely clear, then we should avoid driving into the water, as it may be more deeper than it appears. Particularly if you can't see the curbs at the side of the road, then that's a good indication that that you've got some deep water ahead of you, and if possible take an alternative route or don't proceed down there, because once you get into it and it turns out to be deeper than you thought, then it's difficult to get out again. So for all the people in Clapham, our health surveillance is now due, and your managers will be contacting you to arrange for your health surveillance, and this is a legal requirement that we conduct this health surveillance, and by doing that, then we can potentially diagnose early warning signs of health conditions, respiratory, HAVS is another one, and the effects of night working and also exposure to noise. So if you haven't been booked into that, then do contact your manager and make sure that happens. As I said, it's a mandatory requirement, and we need to make sure that we get the opportunity for all our people to have the health screening. Okay, so in terms of working in winter, we've got some guidance that's been issued from the centre called Look Out for Each Other this winter, and this covers quite a wide range of the different hazards and conditions that we may experience. And the overriding message is that obviously winter provides some challenges for us, and we need to look out for each other and bear in mind the conditions we're likely to encounter and make sure we're properly prepared to deal with that. And as we said before, when we're talking about close calls, it's not just about conditions, but it's about behaviours as well. And we do encourage people to speak up if they see people behaving in a way which is potentially unsafe, because it's through that kind of proactive challenging that we're going to get improve our safety culture and get everybody home safe every day. So things to look out for this winter: driving safely, as we've mentioned, not just water, but obviously potentially icy roads, and things like low sun can affect your ability to drive safely, and we need to be sure that our vehicle is in a good condition and a safe condition before we drive, and there are pre-use checks that we need to carry out before we get into the vehicle and drive, so that we make sure such things as tyres, lights and mirrors are all in good condition and working. Slips, trips and falls is obviously another prevalent hazard in winter, so another thing to be aware of. We've already talked about one accident that occurred as a result of a slip and a trip on some access gates, and things like snow and ice and water, frosty conditions obviously increase that hazard. We need to make sure we've got proper PPE, boots in good condition, that type of thing, to minimise the risk from that. Take a bit of extra time, be aware of your environment and potentially hidden hazards, particularly with snow. You don't know what's underneath it, and adequate lighting is also important to make sure that we've got the best chance of avoiding any hazards that do exist. And there's a note on drugs and alcohol, which it may be timely for this type of year, this time of year. So when we turn up to work in the morning, we do need to be confident that we're in a fit condition to report to work, and we also need to be aware of our colleagues, and just keeping that extra degree of awareness as to whether that we think they're fit to work. And obviously if we do have any doubts, then we should be raising that with the person or their manager, and making sure that person doesn't continue with their duty. Another thing that can happen in winter is the fact one of the effects of reduced amount of sunlight can impact on people's mental well-being, and it's not something that people necessarily feel always confident to talk about or comfortable talking about, but we can use the opportunity of a safety hour or something similar to that to encourage people to talk about it, and it's something that we should be aware of with our teams. It's important that we're all aware of each other's moods and behaviour, as this can impact how we go about our job, and it could have safety implications. And there's some advice there about how to maintain a good, healthy working environment, and being aware of the people, the moods and the behaviours of the people in your team. And if you think you know, someone's behaviour is changing, then that might be a trigger to initiate a bit of a conversation. There's also things that people can do. There's the employee assistance program, which is confidential and free from Validium. And there's some more information on the health and wellbeing portal, which is available by Connect. So in sort of summary, to look out for each other this winter, what sort of things should we be thinking about? As we talked about, winter driving, slips, trips and falls, drugs and alcohol, and mental wellbeing. If we all bear that in mind, then that will help everyone to stay safe this winter. If you've got any feedback about the blog and the contents on the blog, or any ideas to additional material that we could put on it or how to improve it, then do feed those forward, and we'll pass them on to Adam, and he can take that forward for future developments on the blog. Personally, I think it's really good, and I do encourage everyone to have a look at that and use that as a bit of a repository for your safety conversations in your teams. So that's all the material that I want to talk through today. So we'll now open up the line for any comments or questions or any other items that people may want to raise on the call.
Thank you, Jolly. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star and one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star then two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. There are no questions waiting at this time, Charlie. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. We have no questions waiting at this time, Charlie.
Okay, so if you don't have a question, you may have an observation or a bit of feedback about the call or about the blog, so anything that you wish to raise, it's an opportunity to do so now. It doesn't have to necessarily be a question relating to the content we've discussed today, so we'll just give it another minute or so and see if anyone's got any feedback at all or any other observations they'd like to raise on the call.
Charlie, it's Ivan. Just wanted to mention something. We've got a forecast of ice and snow in the coming days. I think it'd be really good if teams just check that they've done all their precautions, if there's enough grit or salt or whatever the equivalent we use in the depots, and people are checking cars, etc., and making sure they've got the screen wash or whatever, and people have got the right PPE, etc. So we don't want to be caught out by the cold weather, which is, it's dramatically dropping overnight now. So and ice, etc., especially driving and in the depots, slipping, etc. So if we can make sure that everybody knows where the stuff is and people know how to use the equipment, etc., and the substances to prevent that ice from forming, that'd be really great.
Okay, thanks, Ivan. That's a great point. We've obviously had a relatively mild winter so far, although it's been very wet. We haven't had significant periods of cold weather as yet, but as you say, it's forecast to get increasingly cold over the next week to 2 weeks. So now would be a great time to make sure we've got sufficient supplies of materials and equipment, salt, grit, shovels, and the equipment for vehicles as well, as Ivan mentioned, such as windscreen wash, de-icer, etc. So I encourage you all to check in your depots that all that stuff is available and it's in the right locations as well, such as our key access points. We should have supplies of grit and shovels and so forth at those access points, in preparation for possible cold and icy and snowy weather. Okay, so if there's no more questions, then we'll draw this to a close for today. Thank you very much, everyone, for attending. Remember to register your attendance via the network, the Wessex Safety Hour email address, and Brooke will log those attendances for us. And as I said, do check out the blog at safety.nrwessex.co.uk and have a look at that. And any comments on that, you can feedback via email as well.
We have no questions waiting at this time, Charlie.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll say good afternoon to everyone, and stay safe, and we'll speak again next week.
Thank you, Charlie. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.